Revelation chapter 21. That should be an easy spot to find. Go as far to the right as possible. Revelation chapter 21. Lord, I want to pray for this coming year. At this milestone in our lives, Lord, a time to reflect on what's happened. Lord, and a time to plan for what will happen. To make goals, to seek changes in life that improve our lives. Lord, I certainly pray that we would make our plans with you involved. Father, I pray that you would instruct us this morning from your word. That you would encourage us, that you would fill us with hope. Excitement for what you have planned. In Jesus' name, amen. It really is a lot of fun to get new things, isn't it? Come on, admit it. You like to get new things. That's what we like about Christmas, getting new things to wear. Maybe some of you are wearing some things that you got for Christmas, or new things to use, or new things to play with, or new things to drive if you were extra good last year. And of course, with all those new things that we get on Christmas, we have a bunch of new payments to pay on January, right? But that's another story. We like getting new things. New things are fun. Brother and sister in Christ, we have a God who likes new things. We have a God who likes to make things new. Look at verse 5 of Revelation chapter 21. It says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" The book of Revelation is basically a series of visions that John the Apostle gets while he's on exile. He's exiled on an island called Patmos. And so John has many visions of heaven. In fact, it's argued that he was actually transported to heaven, where he could see the heavenly throne room of God. And John also gets visions of the last days, how things are going to end up in the future. And so the book of Revelation is an amazing book to study and to read. It's a great study if you have a time or an opportunity to do that. But here we have John in another vision. He's in the heavenly throne room of God. And he sees, or gets a glimpse of God sitting on the throne in heaven, and he hears God say, "Behold, I make all things new." And I just think that whole scene is so encouraging to us as we go into a new year. You know, I was thinking a lot about what kind of a New Year's message I could bring this year. And the Lord just brought me to this verse. So encouraging. God is in charge. God is seated on the throne. God is sovereign. God is in authority. And God wants to make all things new. God is the Almighty. He is the all-powerful. He can do anything. God has the power to make all things new. I love the tense in this verse when it says, "Behold, I make all things new." That's present tense. Literally, it's saying, "I am making all things new." God would say, "I am in the process of making all things new." So it's not a past thing. It's not God saying, "I made things new in the past and now that's all done." Or it's not God saying, "I will make things all new in the future." No, it speaks of the actual character of God. God is always making things new. "I make things new." That's what God says. And then I love this word "new" in verse 5. "Behold, I make all things new." There are two Greek words that are translated "new" in the scripture. The first Greek word is the word "neos." It means the newest in time, the most recent. So if you got a pair of new shoes for Christmas, you would use that word "neos," new shoes, the newest pair of shoes that you own, the most recently purchased. That's one word that's used. Then the other Greek word translated "new" in the New Testament is "kaine," which refers to a whole new level of new, a higher quality, a higher character, a whole brand new, different newness. So if you had gotten a new pair of shoes on Christmas morning and you opened them up and you put them on and they fit you real good and you stood up and pretty soon you started gliding around the room. Didn't have to walk. Just, woo, you're all over. Those would be kaine. That's a new quality. Whoa. That's a whole different kind of shoe. Moms with small children need shoes like that. Wouldn't you agree? This is the word that God uses in verse 5. "I will make all things new," kaine. I can make everything of a higher quality. God says I can make everything fresh. Brand new, a whole other level. It's encouraging, isn't it? As Roy mentioned, maybe some of you wish 2008 would just go away. Maybe you had a tough year. Well, I want you to see, and maybe you're even thinking, "I'm not sure about 2009. I'm a little nervous about it." Well, I want you to see that you have a God who makes all things new. We have a God who sits on the throne and wants to make things new. We have a God who is all-powerful and can make things new. We have a God, and that's His character of making all things new. And He has the power to make things brand new in ways that we could never even imagine. Maybe you had a great year in 2008. Let me say to you, don't rest on your laurels. Don't just plateau. Don't just be content with where you are. You still have a God that wants to make all things new. Growing. Prosperous. Higher quality. This is the kind of God that we have. What can God make new? Well, He can make almost anything new. In chapter 21 of Revelation, it's a wonderful chapter. It actually speaks about the brand new home that God is making for those that belong to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the second to last chapter in the Bible, and so as you might expect, it's looking ahead to the future. And in fact, chapter 21 gives us a glimpse about as far as into the future as we can possibly see from the biblical record. This is looking way ahead for where God's people will end up. Now, just as a chronological bearing for all of us, I believe that right now we are in the church age. I believe that the next major event in prophecy will be the rapture of the church, where Jesus comes and takes His people home, and I think we're close to that event. That will be followed by a 7-year tribulation period where God's judgment is poured out upon this earth. Then at the end of that 7-year tribulation period, Jesus Christ will literally come again. We'll come with him. Then I believe the scripture teaches after that, Jesus will set up a literal kingdom on the earth called the millennium, a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and we'll reign with him. And then after that 1,000-year period is over, we go into what is called the eternal state. And that's what Revelation chapter 21 speaks of. The eternal state, and believe me, kine. New. Oh man, a quality that we probably can't even comprehend. It's fun to look at some of the details. Look at verse 1. John says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea." The earth on which we live right now, and the way that it works with the climate, the agriculture, the seasons, all of that, one day is going away. The heaven in which we now know, the solar system, the universe, galaxy, stars, one day that's all going away. God says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and it's the word kine, a quality that you can't even imagine. There's going to be a new earth coming that will blow this earth away. And a new heaven that's coming. Now it says that the new earth won't have any sea. I have some Christian surfer buddies that don't like that detail. But I think that God will take care of the surfers in heaven. They'll be just fine. Scripture says that's what we're to look for. Psalm 102. "Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, and like a cloak, you'll change them. And they will be changed." God will change the environment in which we live. Isaiah 65, verse 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or even come to mind." That's interesting. When God creates the new heaven and the new earth, our new environment to live, it's like we won't even remember how this place used to work. It won't even come to mind. It's going to blow our minds. I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with what God's done with this earth, aren't you? And my understanding of the heavens and the galaxies, God is powerful. God is so creative. Imagine what he's going to come up with next. Imagine what he can design. I love the story about a little city girl who was in the country for the first time and saw the night sky with all the stars. First time. And she said, "Oh, mother, if heaven is so beautiful on the wrong side, what must it be like on the right side?" We're going to find out. We can only imagine what's coming. You know, I think maybe everything could be different. Imagine, you know, in this earth we have 4 seasons. Maybe the next earth will have 100 seasons. Who knows what God can have in mind? We just know that he's brilliant, right? He's a genius. He's a creator. He's a designer. Oh, what he has in store for us. Look at verse 2. It says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." That seems to suggest that we will have a base of operations in the eternal state. We will all be living in a new city, a city called New Jerusalem. And again, that word new, kine, a city like you've never, ever seen before. And if you want to find out all the details about this, you just read the rest of chapter 21. But just let me sum up what this city is going to be like. It will be a city made by God Himself. It will shine with the glory of God. This city is going to be 1,500 miles wide by 1,500 miles long by 1,500 miles high. The city will be 1,500 miles cubed. That's just a little bit smaller than our moon. That city would cover most of Eastern Europe. We are told that that city will be made of pure gold. Pure gold. We talk about the streets of gold in heaven. The entire city will be made of gold, and it's gold in its purest state. We are told that there will be 12 foundations to this city. The foundations will be made of precious jewels. There'll be 12 gates to the city. Each gate, one solid pearl. Streets of gold, a river of life, a tree of life. There will be no sun in that city. God Himself will be its light. That's going to be a really cool city to see. That's going to be a wonderful city to live in. And I think the idea of heaven is that's just your base of ops. You can go anywhere you want in the universe, but that's home base. New Jerusalem. Verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." In the eternal state, we will all have a new, profound awareness of God's presence. It says that at that time, God will literally dwell with us. We will dwell with Him. We will see Him. We will touch Him. I just want you to think about that. One day, if you're a Christian, you will see God. You will see Him. We'll see Jesus. I got to tell you, that's what I'm looking forward to most about heaven. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You know, I think what makes heaven heaven is the fact that God is there. Now, we get to enjoy the presence of God right now, don't we, as Christians? The Bible says if you give your life to Christ, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit dwells inside you. And we get to experience His presence, sometimes stronger than at other times. Sometimes as the church body gathers, we have a feeling and a sense of His presence. But the Bible does say that in this life, we walk by faith. Not by sight. There is coming a day when we'll see Him, though. That's a complete access to God like that. To me, that's the greatest part about heaven. I love Christmas every year. I love getting to see my relatives. And you know, when we go to my parents' house, if we go to their house, there's always exciting things to do. There's gifts to receive. There's dinners to share. My dad always has certain activities planned for us to do. And all those things are nice, but it's icing on the cake. The best part about going home for Christmas is I just get to be with Mom and Dad. I just get to see them. And that is going to be the best part of heaven. Amen. We will look upon our beloved. We will look upon the Savior. We'll see His scars. Look at verse 4. It speaks about the living conditions of the new city. Verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can you imagine a place like that? Talk about new kine. In that place, there will not be any death, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering. Think of all the little things that annoy us here. Hangnails. Fever blisters. None of that. Imagine a world where there isn't one single hospital. You can't find one. No clinic. No insane asylum. No jail. No courtrooms. Bible says that we will be given new bodies in heaven. Glorified bodies. Bodies that don't get old. Bodies that don't wrinkle or get flabby. Imagine bodies that never get weary. Imagine minds that never get depressed. No mood swings in heaven. No bad days in heaven. No nightmares in heaven. It boggles the mind. We can't even begin to comprehend what God has for us. And again, it says in Isaiah chapter 65, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." In other words, all the suffering and pain that we've experienced here, we'll forget it. In heaven, that stuff won't even come to our mind. God is going to make all things new, isn't he? Payson said, "Oh, when we meet in heaven, we shall see how little we knew about it on earth." I love what one person did, put sort of all this information in chapter 21 into a little advertisement that you might find in a real estate magazine. He puts it like this: free, beautiful homes to be given away in a perfect city with 100% pure water free, no light bills, perpetual lighting, permanent pavement, nothing undesirable, everything new, perfect health, immunity from accidents, the best of society. Beautiful music, free transportation. Secure a contract today for the New Jerusalem. You know how you secure a contract for the New Jerusalem? You give your life to Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you. Christ came and he died on the cross for the sins of the world. And he rose again that third day. The Bible says faith in him brings salvation to you. And those that belong to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the home that he's making for them. Let's look at another place where this word new shows up. Turn left to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. God can and will make a brand new future home for us. What else can God make new? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is definitely a verse that we should all know. It's my life verse. There Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now again, look at that word creation there. That's a powerful word, isn't it? That's a strong word. It's used to speak of God's power in creating. Now when you hear the word creation, what do you think of usually first? What God did, how He created this world in 6 days. How He spoke the earth into existence. How He spoke us into existence. The universe, God has created all things. And it makes you think of His great and marvelous power. And we just read how in Revelation chapter 21, He'll just redo it. He'll just change it out like a new shirt. God's creative power. Here, He is speaking of what He wants to do with an individual. He can make an individual a brand new creation in an instant of time. In a moment of time, in a nanosecond. And again, the word new shows up, kine, new creation. God can make something totally brand new out of you right now. He can recreate you, in a sense. Of course, Paul is speaking about what happens at the moment of conversion. When a person gets converted, they become a brand new creation in Christ at that moment. Conversion. What does that mean? It means when somebody puts their faith in Christ Jesus, when somebody hears the gospel message, responds to it, admits that they are a sinner, understands that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and raise again that third day, and then open your heart for Jesus. When a person makes that decision, in a simple, honest prayer, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. At that very moment, you become a brand new creation. The scripture says you are placed in Christ. Only people who are in Christ are new creations. When you give your life to Jesus, when you ask Him to be your Savior, you are united with Christ. You are spiritually joined to Christ. It's a miracle. You are joined to Him in His life, in His death, and in His resurrection. You are covered in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. The Bible says that you become born again. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says that you become regenerated. The Bible says you are given a brand new nature. You become a brand new creation. All of your sins are forgiven. You become a child of God at that moment. The moment you surrender your life to Christ and put your faith in Him, Scripture says all of your sins are forgiven. In heaven, you are justified before a holy God. God would see you just as if, justified, you've ever sinned. As if you've never sinned. All your sins erased. Clean before a holy God. Scripture says that the moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside you and dwells. It's a miracle. And we are given a new nature when that happens. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you give your life to Christ, you will find that your appetites for some of the old things in life, maybe the sinful things, that those will pass away and you'll be given new appetites, new desires as a child of God. When a person is converted, they're usually filled with a hunger and a joy to get to know God better. And you do see a change in their life where they turn from evil things that they've done in the past, not because they have to, but because they want to. They're new. The story is told that when Augustine was still without God and without hope, The Holy Spirit convicted him on the basis of Paul's words in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Augustine acknowledged his sinfulness, accepted Jesus as his Savior, and became a different person. It says his outlook on life began to change because of his new nature. One day when he had to attend some business in his old haunts in Rome, he was walking along and a former companion saw him and began calling, "Augustine, Augustine, it is I." He took one look at the disreputable woman whose company he had formerly enjoyed, and he shuddered. Reminding himself of his new position in Christ, he quickly turned and ran from her, shouting, "It's not I! It's not I!" Augustine has changed. He's new. Augustine had found the secret of Paul's words, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Maybe there are some things that you want to fix in 2009. Maybe there are some things that you'd like to change. Maybe you sit here this morning and you think, "I don't want to go into the new year as the same old me." If you haven't yet become converted, if you haven't yet had that experience where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want to highly urge you to do that this morning. Talk about becoming new. The new year, we'll definitely see a new you if that takes place. Because you will become a child of God. You will have the power of God in your life. And we all need that. You might say, "Well, does that mean I'm weak or something if I have to give my life to Christ and I have to go to religion and all that?" No. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of reality. It's a sign of understanding that we all need Jesus Christ. I love it. It's been said that, you know, people get angry at Christians and they use this line, "Jesus is just a crutch for you, man." And I love how Greg Laurie always responds to that. "He's more than a crutch. He's the whole hospital. I get in the bedroom." We're dependent upon him. And we all need Christ. We all need to be converted. I love the story about Billy Sunday. He was going to do a major crusade in some city, and he wrote the mayor of that city a letter asking for the names of individuals he knew who had a spiritual problem and needed help in prayer. A few days later, he received from the mayor in the mail a city directory. We all need them. We all need to be converted. We all need the power of God in our lives. We all need to know that we are forgiven of our sins. And don't buy the line that you can fix yourself. People out there say, "You can fix yourself. Just get more educated. Try harder." No. There was a missionary who was visiting a person he knew who lived in a primitive hut, just a real primitive hut. And they were meeting there and they sat on the floor and the missionary got nauseated by the floor. It was making him sick. It stunk so much. And so he asked the guy, he said, "Hey, can we scrub that dirty surface with some soap and water?" He said, "Well, you could do that, but the floor's clay, packed down and dry. The more you wash it, the more messy it becomes, mud." The missionary thought, "Yep, if you really want to do something, you got to give it a whole brand new floor." So it is with the human heart. It's hard and dirty, and nothing will help it. Man needs a new heart. He must be born again from above. Maybe there's some of you here this morning that have never made that decision, and I want you to have that opportunity. Go into 09, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, do I have to do some things? Do I have to go through some religious hoops? Do I have to, you know, say no to some things? No, just come right as you are right now. Jesus Christ will take you right now as you are and make you brand new. I want you to see one more verse where we see this word new. And it's in this, on the same page, actually, the chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There's that same word. It's a variation of kine. And all that verse tells us, and I think it's so encouraging, is this. God wants you to become brand new daily. Daily. We have a God who will make us brand new day by day. And it's independent of our circumstances. Paul says there, don't lose heart, for even though our outward man is perishing. Now, we don't even need to explain that. All of us who have bodies know exactly what he's talking about, right? In this life, things decay, things get weak, things atrophy, right? They break down. The new car loses that new car smell. Metal rusts, fabrics wear out. Toys break. You have kids that have already had toys break since Christmas? Things break down. And so do our bodies. Our bodies break down. Our bodies get wrinkled in this life. But Paul would say, don't lose heart, because the real you, the inner you, the part of you that lasts forever, can get stronger and stronger every day. He can make us new daily. Christian, that's how I want to encourage you as we go into 2009. You really can go into the new year as a new you daily. Growing a higher quality of life every day. Now, I know that this time of the year, we are making decisions, we're making goals, we're looking forward to things that we want to accomplish, and we most certainly should do that. And I believe as Christians that God is involved in all of those areas of our lives. And that He wants to make all kinds of things new in our lives. Maybe you're in a very tough marital relationship right now. And maybe one of your goals for this next year would be to see that marriage relationship gets healthy, gets transformed. Kine, new. God can do that. But you'll have to give your reins, the reins of your life, to Him. Maybe there's some that have been praying a long time to find a spouse, to get married. Hey, you know something? Every single day is a possibility with God. He can make all things new. You know, when I was in my late 20s, I wasn't married and I wasn't dating anyone. And my parents were starting to get a little concerned. And same with Rusty, my brother. He's a year and a half younger. He wasn't dating anybody. And they were, well, why don't these kids get married? What's up with them? It can happen very, very quickly. Do you realize that within 4 years, both of us were married and had given them 6 grandchildren? can happen very, very quickly. There's always a possibility with God He can make all things new. But again, give that area to Him. Maybe it's been a tough business year, financial problems. I believe God is in control of your life and He cares about that. He can make things new. Maybe you've got brothers and sisters or relatives of your family or people at work that you've been praying for years. You want them to come to know Jesus. You've been sharing with them. You've been praying for them. Don't let up in 2009. This might be the year. We serve a God who makes all things new. Every single day is a possibility with God. Every 365 days, we have a new year. Every 24 hours, we have a new day. Every 60 minutes, we have a new hour. God created the potential for new beginnings into the very design of the universe. No matter how bad things seem, there's always hope. There's always room for a new beginning. But don't miss the essence of this verse here. God does want to make things new. But here's what this verse tells us. God wants to make the inner you new every day. He wants to make you new. He wants to renew your spirit. And I can guarantee you this. Next year, if you belong to God through Jesus Christ, God wants you to get to know Him better. I promise you that. He wants you to become closer to Him. And I promise you that He wants to make your devotions fresh, vibrant, new, kine. Go to God's Word with a whole fresh new attitude this year. Maybe read it through in a different way. God wants to make your prayer life fresh, new. If you're involved in a ministry, God wants to make your ministry fresh, new. New vision. In other words, if you really want to go into the new year totally new, then go into this next year totally dependent upon God like you've never been before in your life. Amen. Devoted to Him like you've never been. Cherishing Him, focusing on Him. He will take your life and He will change you. And He will do wonderful things that will bleed over into every activity of your life. That gives me hope. It gives me encouragement, huh? A God that makes all things new. I want to close with a prayer that was prayed by someone on a New Year's Eve or a New Year's Day. In this prayer, he prays, Lord, I confess before you that I have had longings and nudges from you which I did not translate into action. I have made decisions without consulting you, then have blamed you when things were wrong. I have said that I trusted you, yet have not turned my affairs over to you. I have been greedy for present delights and pleasures, unwilling to wait for those joys which time and discipline alone can give. I have often sought the easy way and have consistently drawn back from the road that is hard. I have been fond of giving myself to dreams, of which I'm going to do sometime, yet have been so slow in getting started to do them. Forgive me for all the attentions that were born and somehow never lived. And now, I claim your promise to change me. Do for me what I cannot do for myself. Lead me into a new tomorrow with a new spirit. Cleanse my heart. create within me new attitudes and new ideas as only you can. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, the most amazing truth to consider as we read through your word is the fact that you are so interested in us, that you love us. You are intimately familiar with each one of us. You know how many days we get to live on this earth. You know everything about us. And your intentions toward us are only good. You have sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins that we might be saved. You can and do make us new creations. And it is your desire to make us new every day. I pray that we would draw so close to you this year. You know, with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to extend an invitation. Maybe you've never had that conversion experience. You've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Scripture says you must do it through a prayer. Just an acknowledgement out of your heart. Jesus, save me. I place my faith and trust in you. If you haven't done that yet, you need to, and you need to do it right now. Let God change you. Let Him come into your life. If there's anyone here this morning who hasn't made that decision and wants to, right now you can do that by just raising your hand high, just acknowledging that that's what I want to do right now. Is there anybody here with us who needs to make that decision? Raise your hand high so I can see it. Say, Terry, that's me. Okay, then, with heads bowed and eyes closed. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to right now, in your heart and in your mind, think about a goal, a burden, some area in your life that you want to see change in 2009. Just whatever that might be. And maybe it's just the general burden that you would become more surrendered to your Lord this year, more dependent upon Him. Maybe it is a family member that you have been praying for many years. In 2009, you want that to be the year. Maybe it's a burden in your heart to become a better witness for Him this year. Maybe it's a health issue. Whatever. You take that burden right now. That goal, whatever. And I want to give you just a couple of minutes, just absolute silence, just to give that to Him. Let's do that. Scripture likens our prayers to incense, sweet smelling aroma that reaches the heavenly throne room. My brother and sister in Christ, God, your heavenly Father, heard those prayers. He can make all things new. Let's go into this year more dependent upon Him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and we'll close with a finishing song.
To the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever.
Praise.